Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Good morning and welcome to CBS This Morning. It's Wednesday, June 16th, 2021. I'm Anthony Mason with Tony DeCoppo. Gail King is off, so Adriana Diaz is with us. An historic day for U.S. diplomacy. President Biden is in Geneva, Switzerland today to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin at what both leaders agree is a low point in relations between the two countries. Mr. Biden has promised a tough stand with Mr. Putin, whose plane landed in Geneva a short time ago. CBS Evening News anchor and managing editor Nora O'Donnell is leading our coverage in Switzerland. Nora, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Anthony. Here in Geneva, President Biden is facing what could be his toughest foreign policy challenge yet, a face-to-face summit with a man that he has called a killer. But just this week, he also called President Putin bright and a worthy adversary. Now, all of this is happening against this beautiful backdrop, an 18th century villa right here on Lake Geneva. It's actually just across from where we are right now. It's actually the third time this Swiss city has hosted U.S. and Russian leaders for talks. Now, today's meeting actually comes 20 years to the day that President George W. Bush met with the Russian leader, famously suggesting he had looked Putin in the eye and got a sense of his soul and found him trustworthy. Well, I think it is fair to say that the national security team around President Biden doesn't think there's much to trust with Putin at all, given that Russia has interfered in the last two presidential elections and those recent crippling cyber attacks that originated from inside Putin's country. You can see now that President Putin is arriving right now at that villa. His motorcade had just passed by here. There is extremely tight security here, meeting the Swiss president there, who we will hear from shortly. You hear the press, of course, shouting questions to them. It's unlikely that we will... No handshake there. Interesting. I don't know if that is COVID concerns. But we will see. There it is. We will see Russian President Putin along with the Swiss president and President Biden later this morning before they have some 4 to 5 hours of talks. Now, we should also note, Anthony, the larger geopolitical picture here, because just this week, Russia began these naval drills in the Pacific near the coast of Hawaii. Now, it is considered the latest in what the U.S. believes are a series of provocations against the United States, and that's what's going to come up at these meetings. Ed O'Keefe is traveling with President Biden and is at the summit site this morning. And Ed, we should talk about this. I know there aren't any big agreements expected today, but do White House officials see this summit as a way of sending a very tough message to the Russians?
Well, good morning. Good day, Nora. Good day to you from just around the bend here in Lake Geneva at this heavily fortified villa where the president of Russia has now arrived. You're correct. White House officials not setting high expectations nor expecting any major takeaways. But White House officials do tell CBS News the president will clearly state America's national interests and make clear that any Russian actions counter to them will be met with a strong response. Now in Geneva, President Biden is set to come face to face with Russian President Putin. When asked if he's ready,
thank you so much. Thank you.
Ahead of the meetings, Russia is sending a provocative message. The country's Navy conducting what it calls its largest military exercise since the end of the Cold War, positioning ships and long-range bombers about 300 to 500 miles west of Hawaii. Relations between the U.S. and Russia are at a low point, with Russia-based hackers targeting two major American businesses in just the last few months.
We will respond if Russia continues its harmful activities.
Final preparations underway at Villa Lagrange. Right here, President Biden, President Putin, and the Swiss president will greet journalists here to cover one of the most hotly anticipated diplomatic meetings in years.
The meeting is expected to last at least 4 to 5 hours. Presidents Putin and Biden will both be greeted by the Swiss president, who will make remarks and then leave. The two leaders then set to be joined by their foreign ministers and interpreters. They'll meet for a while, and then the summit will open up to more aides. Both men are expected to hold separate news conferences. Among the topics expected to be discussed today, nuclear arms control, Russian interference in U.S. elections, and cyber attacks. And the White House says the president's expected to raise the fate of two former U.S. Marines being held in Russian prisons, Paul Whelan and Trevor Reed. CBS News was first to obtain new audio of Reed pleading for his freedom.
I would say that I spent my whole life in the service of my country, and I would appreciate it if my country would help to bring me home in this difficult situation back to my family.
Reed's family said they hope the summit will bring him one step closer to home.
What would be success coming out of this summit?
For me, it would just be that they are making a plan to free him soon. It's not going to happen overnight. He's not going to fly home with the president, but at least that there is some good talks that they agree that he will be coming home soon.
Reed was arrested in 2019 and charged with assaulting police officers. He has 7 years left in his sentence. President Putin has suggested a U.S.-Russia prisoner swap, but U.S. officials say that's off the table. And in remarks this morning to the Russian press, Putin's spokesman says, among other topics, they want to talk about nuclear arms control and regaining access to embassies and diplomatic compounds in their respective countries. Nora, they are among several subjects that will be discussed today.
No doubt, Ed, at that very long series of meetings expected today. If you think about the number of summits held between U.S. and Russian leaders over the past many decades, even here in Geneva, it has largely been about the threat of nuclear weapons, Ed. But at this summit, there's a different type of threat that has risen to the top, and that is cyber warfare, right? What are you hearing from White House officials about what exactly Biden will say to Putin about those cyber attacks that have been launched against the United States?
Well, a few things, Nora. I mean, among other things, now remember, just coming out of the NATO meetings, there's been agreement among members of that military alliance that they will consider cyber attacks on countries as a potential violation of the Article 5. An attack on one is an attack against all. So that could potentially amplify the severity of cyber attacks. The other issue to watch for today is conversation about cyber prisoners or cyber crime prisoners and whether or not there should be a swap there. That was part of the confusion that was generated over prisoner swaps earlier this week. Putin suggesting in an interview that perhaps if there were cyber criminals in the United States, they could be sent back to Russia. The United States says, don't worry, we take care of our cyber criminals. He should do the same.
All right, Ed, thank you. Let's send it back to all of you in New York. Anthony?
Nora, thank you. We'll go back to Geneva as things develop there later in the day. But now let's bring in CBS News Chief Political Analyst John Dickerson. John, good morning.
Good morning, Anthony.
We heard Ed O'Keefe say that the White House is signaling they don't expect major developments out of this. But this is a relationship, the U.S. and Russia, that's been spiraling downward for a while now, both sides saying it's at a low point. Is there a possibility of stabilizing the relationship at least?
Well, that's the really important thing is stability. 58 years ago, almost to the day, U.S. officials and Russian officials met in Geneva to work out the hotline with a red phone. It wasn't an actual red phone, but why did they do it? For two reasons. One was communication. They needed to be able for adversaries to exchange messages quickly so there were no misunderstandings. That's the second thing, as Nora was talking about cyber attacks. The U.S. has to be sure and Russia has to be sure exactly what the red lines are on these cyber attacks so that something doesn't spiral out of control. That's stability among adversaries, but that's important. So they could work out some of that. And then there are these nuclear issues, these prisoner issues. There's obviously Ukraine. There are a whole host of issues where the U.S. wants to say, here are our priorities. Right. And that's really important for the Russians to know what U.S. priorities are, what the red lines are, and then also to know what the Russians might do to get back in the U.S.'s good graces and vice versa.
Joe Biden is a new president, but these two men have a prior relationship. There is a history. It is interesting to note, I think the wording that Joe Biden has used about Mr. Putin, I mean, at one time, of course, not long ago, he called him a killer, but then he just said recently they called him a worthy adversary, which seemed to be a tonal shift.
Sure. And you see, so President Biden is playing games. You could imagine President Putin, who likes to play games in these meetings, extending the length of the meeting. In other words, he likes to show his physical prowess. He's going to do an Iron Man maybe approach to today, yeah. Stretch it out. There will be a lot of gamesmanship. But I thought worthy adversary was quite interesting, too, because the president's been criticized for giving Putin a meeting as if it's some kind of prize. Well, and to be called a worthy adversary by an American president for Putin, who wants to look on parity with an American president, is a kind of gift in advance of this.
A form of respect in some ways.
Exactly, which means when they get behind closed doors, you would expect perhaps the president to say, look, I've shown you respect there. Here are the things you need to hear me on in this private way. Sort of playing an inside game and an outside game.
There is a meeting going on, but there are parameters for the meeting, as we understand it. The men will be together for hours along with staff, but no meal will be shared. They will never be alone together. And then afterwards, there will be no joint press conference. That's a lot of choreography. Why?
It is. Well, and think about the last time that a president met with Vladimir Putin. When President Trump met with him, it was the exact opposite. It was unscripted. It was harum scarum. It was not as tightly controlled. And the reason it has to be tightly controlled, again, is to make sure there are no misunderstandings, that both sides need to know exactly what they're saying to each other. And that's about the moment, but it's also for 6 months from now. So that when Vladimir Putin is making choices about what he's going to do, he can have in his mind the recollection of what they said in those meetings. And the same is true for President Biden as well. And so it has to be choreographed so that there's no misunderstanding, because inside the misunderstanding is where you have things go wrong.
Now, President Biden has been on quite the trip of the tour of Europe. What is the significance, you think, of this coming on the heels of the G7 and NATO, where a unified front was presented?
So President Biden keeps saying, and all the staff keeps saying, America is back. What does that mean? It means that the president is putting himself forward as the kind of the lead spokesman for a whole set of values that basically established the liberal order in international relations over the last 70, 80 years. So it's not just U.S.-Russia relations. It's President Biden saying, I am here as the representative of the most powerful democracy on the planet. And here's what we believe. And these aren't just abstract notions. I have countries behind me. I have the NATO alliance behind me. And that gives force to what I say. That is both a public message, but it's also private. I mean, when I asked Dr. Condoleezza Rice, the former Secretary of State, how to measure this, she said, don't look at the pageantry. Watch 6 months later if the private messages have paid off. What would we look for? Fewer cyber attacks, maybe some improvement on the human rights front. But those private messages are going to be the most interesting, and unfortunately, we won't learn about those for about 6 months or so.
John, we're looking, as you're speaking, at President Biden's motorcade on its way to the meeting with President Putin. How successful has President Biden been so far, do you think, on this trip? And what constitutes success in this meeting with Vladimir Putin?
Well, that's a great point. We'll start with Putin. As I was saying about former Secretary Rice, her point was success is if he can convey in these private meetings, this is what is important in the United States, and this is what we know you're up to. President Biden can talk about intelligence and about what the U.S. really knows the Russians are up to, and can say, if you keep going down this road, here is the retaliation you can expect. Again, predictability, because in misunderstanding, you can have a real, particularly with cyber, it can go haywire fast. So, unfortunately, a lot of that we won't be able to measure in the moment, and we might not be able to measure 4 months.
Part of evaluating the president's performance will be, what did Vladimir Putin get out of this? So what does Putin hope to bring home to Russia? Politically, what does he need to do or want to do here?
Well, he's already brought it home, which is being called a worthy adversary, as Anthony mentioned, by the U.S. president. He wants to be able to say, look, I can meddle in Ukraine, I can imprison my political opponents, and I pay no penalty for it. So strength works. Now, the White House knows that. They know they're giving him that little bit. But what they've made the calculation is, it's worth giving Putin that, because what we want is clarity, and we want him to stop behaving in the way he is. And the only way we can get a shot at doing that is if we deliver these messages privately to him.
But doesn't Putin still need the United States for his home audience and say, look, there's the big enemy out there. They're enemy number one. I've kept you safe. Keep me in power for another decade.
Sure. He one foot on the gas, one foot on the brake. So he'll say, they're the big enemy out there. I am the only one who can stand up to them. But when I do, I get this parity. I get called a worthy adversary. And so he can show some of those bouquets that he's gotten, you know. And so in that sense, he wants to look like he is chummy with the American president. That's chummy because it goes too far. But looks like he can
he's close.
Be at least on the same level with an American president, yeah. which is one that allows him to show, look, I can do both things for you, yeah. the Russian people.
So all of this is happening as Alexei Navalny is in prison in yeah. Russia. How does that play into this, especially with Putin kind of dismissing the issue when he was asked in an interview about Navalny recently?
Well, this goes back to, and this is perhaps the trickiest part for President Biden, and it goes back to what he's been doing for the last several days, which is say, I am the leader of the democracies and we care about human rights. Fine, so he talks about that, but what is it gonna do? How is it gonna pay off? And if you keep talking about human rights and don't put any muscle behind it, or it doesn't pay off, then it weakens that message. So in terms of that public role as the leader of a democracy, Navalny's case and what the president says about it and whether it pays off in any particular way is very important for the sort of public theatrical part of this diplomacy. We've talked about the private messages, but in a very public way, a U.S. president who puts the hammer down on human rights has to have some kind of a payoff, and it'll be fascinating to see how that goes.
John, quickly, if you're President Biden, what stick do you have to hold over Vladimir Putin to say, stop with the cyber warfare, stop meddling in U.S. elections?
I think we know where you live, which is we can look into exactly what these Russian hackers are doing, why they're related to you, and we know you have companies, and I mean, you could imagine all the way into your gas pipelines. We know how to turn them on, and we know how to turn them off, yeah. and if you don't stop, you're going to start having lots of little accidents in Russia that you don't know the origin of. I mean, I'm making this up, but this is the kind of private threat that a president can send that we won't hear about, yeah. but that could convey a strong message.
All right, John Dickerson, thank you so much. Stay with CBS News for continuing coverage of President Biden's historic meeting with Vladimir Putin. We'll bring you a special report of President Biden's news conference after the meeting.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get daily podcast originals.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
Catch every episode of 60 Minutes, America's most watched news magazine show, as a podcast. Hear in-depth investigations across politics, news, and entertainment on your schedule. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.